adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Dropped into Juicebox, featured on Vancouver's campus and community radio station CITR. That's on the FM dial at 101.9. Or maybe you're just one of our online listeners at www.citr.ca. And one of these days I will stop saying www. But it's just one of my things, you know?
I just keep saying www.
I don't know why. I even have it on my voicemail, www. On that note, those podcast listeners, I guess you're listening on, let me see if I can say this correctly, juiceboxradio.com. Hey, I got rid of my www addiction, at least for this week. We'll see about next week. Anyway, we are really glad that you've come to spend this hour with us. And however you got there, we are glad to have you. So thank you and welcome.
Welcome. So, welcome back to Juicebox. Caroline and I are alone in the box at the moment, but we won't be for long because we have very, very, very special guests coming on the show tonight. I am so excited to have an open conversation with a famous musical sex comedy duo from Canada. They write very sophisticated sex and relationship lyrics paired with sweet, catchy melodies. Yes, none other than the Wet Spots are coming into the Juice Box tonight. Mm-hmm. The Wet Spots, yes. This sassy couple are known for their lively shows, which include sing-alongs, spankings, and body sex ed. And let me tell you, Cass King and John Woods, they are going to be fabulous guests tonight. So they're just running a little late, and so we're waiting for them quite patiently, aren't we, Caroline?
We are. So it would be a really good time to call if you're going to call us. You should do that right now. Give us a call and contribute to our conversation at 604-822-2487. I think it'd be good because between all of us, there's going to be a lot of information shared tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I think between Cass and John and Caroline and I, we probably collectively have enough knowledge and experience to handle just about any call that might come in. So if you've been burning to call, listeners, do so tonight, please. Yeah, so Caroline and I went to the Burlesque Fest this past weekend. We got press passes for the second annual International Burlesque Festival. It was amazing. And on Friday night, I ran into Cass and John, our guests coming on tonight at the Wet Spots. And they were doing the emceeing for the Saturday night fancy ball, the hot and saucy ball. And so for Friday night, I think they were just checking it out. We're going to ask them when they come in, but... Mm-hmm. It was a really amazing night, wasn't it, Caroline? Both nights. I mean, I was there Friday night, Saturday night. Did you ever make it to a workshop?
I didn't, no, unfortunately. Yeah. They had all sorts of great workshops, like burlesque yoga from Little Wu. They had one all about how to promote yourself as a burlesque performer, the history of burlesque, and how to do a few sassy and sexy moves. Mm-hmm. So it was quite interesting. I would have liked to have seen those, but I did go on the Friday night, and there's some fantastic performances.
I was amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Caroline and I owe the Sweet Soul Burlesque people who gave us the free tickets to do a show reviewing the Burlesque Fest. And so we're going to do that next week. Mm-hmm. And we can have some really cool guests coming on as well that you managed to cultivate, didn't you?
Definitely.
Some boylesque stuff.
Teddy Cream.
Yeah.
That should be really exciting. So we're gonna
have them on. I think what we should do, though, until Cass and John arrive, which should be any minute, is maybe play a few of their songs from their album. So we'll kind of do the show a little bit backwards.
Sure.
We'll do some songs first, and then instead of sort of having the long break, what do you think?
Well, we can give it a shot.
Okay. I want to play my favorite one, which is called Booty Call. And nice. It's from their newest CD called Hello Kinky. They have written a few CDs. I think this is the second one. This one was recorded in, hold on, Ribbed for Pleasure was recorded in 2003, and I think that's the one I have at home. Love it. Sing Your Way to Better Sex. They have this DVD, Get Ready for the Sex Ed Class that you didn't get in high school. I have to see this. Apparently this DVD has really brought them a lot of fame. They have a huge amount of performances that they're going to be doing up and down the Western Seaboard over the next, until the end of March. We can have them talk to that at the end of the show. But this particular Hello Kinky just got released in 2006. It's the newest. It's really, really cool. Cass King is vocals. John Woods is doing vocals, guitar. And they have some Stephen Drake, Rick Hopkins, and Adrian Buckley. And I think that those three people are their sort of Vancouver musicians that they tend to use. And they're going to be doing a show at the Railway Club? The Railway Club on March 17th or something. Anyway, I'll get them to talk about that later, but blah, 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 blah. Let's play one of the songs. So this one is called, as I said, Booty Call, A Primal Cry in the Night, a collect call from Jason Keachley's deep soul harmonica, drives home the desperation of a man on fire in the lonely hours. So listen up. This is the Wet Spots.
Bumpy ride, and this is where it ends. 'Cause
Very nice.
That was Cass King and John Woods of the Wet Spots. Booty Call. Could you guess it was called Booty Call? They are on their way to do a live interview with us here in the box. And so we're quite excited. They should be here any minute. I can just feel it.
I think it's neat, though, Julie, just in terms of synchronicity. You know, sometimes you think things and then they happen.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, on Saturday, one of my students was just dropping me off. For those listeners of you who don't know, I teach pole dancing for fitness as well. And what was really interesting was the fact that one of my students actually played Take in the Ass, which is one of their songs, mm-hmm. which I do want to ask them about, and played it for me and said she wanted, was saying that it would be nice to have to pole dance to it and didn't think it was possible. And as she played it for me, I was like, oh, that'd be totally possible. And then when you told me you secured them for an interview, I just thought that's so cool because I found out I actually get to meet the people who actually wrote this.
Yeah.
And I've got students who want to pole dance to their stuff. So it's kind of cool.
Great. Yeah, I think, I met Cass and John years and years ago. Mm. First time I ever saw them on the air was, live performance was at the Café du Soleil on the Drive, and they, I think, were doing the main show, so there was, it was featuring them. I think it was one of their first main shows. I'd have to confirm that with them.
Mm.
But I was just so impressed with the quality of their performance. Just like they're so entertaining. And
tell me what it was about
the music
quality.
Was so great. Just that their stage quality. I mean, you missed them on Saturday night, but they've just improved hugely, even in the scope of being so present and just very just captivating entertainment and really connect with the audience. You know, they sort of speak to the audience a lot. It's not like you're just sort of speaking over all of our heads and you know. Their lyrics are brilliant, brilliant sexual lyrics and relationship stuff. And I mean, some of their songs are like Labia Limbo and Do You Take It in the Ass, like you're saying. And another one, I Like to Come. So just sort of speaking to women's pleasure, very well done. I think one of Cass's most recent ones, I don't know if John wrote it or not, but we'll find out, is on toes. And she's singing about don't lick my toes and why, how gross it is and all this. If you want to lick something, don't lick my toes. Just thought it was brilliant. So I want to play that one too. I hope we can have time to do that.
No, I think we should have time to do that. I know me personally, I have to be in agreement in terms of the toe factor. Although for me, it's kind of like oral sex. I like actually having a shower first just to make sure I feel clean. If it's at the end of it, if it's like a day where you feel like kind of sticky and stenchy, and it's like, just don't touch me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't want you licking my toe lint or anything.
I know.
Toe jam.
It's just like, a lot of tasty niblets that could be
totally
had in
underneath the
toe.
Nails.
Yeah. So, anyway, have you ever done a booty call, Caroline?
I think I've been many guys' booty calls at different points, where I thought it was probably something more than that.
I've been doing some booty calling for sort of the first time really in my life.
Really?
I think. Lately, with Dan 3, just because we've broken up, and so I've had these few booty calls. But you know, it just doesn't work for me. It's like, I don't know, casual sex doesn't do it for me. I keep feeling like a flash here. Is like the phone ringing? Is it just I'm kind of sick, listeners, tonight. I'm not feeling very well. I'm really kind of stoned with, like, you know, feeling sick.
That's
so.
Probably because you've been hanging out with me. My sick, twisted mind is probably resolving and moving on to you, and you're catching it. And you're
becoming sick and twisted?
You
Excellent.
Are sick and twisted.
Well, just in time for the Juice Box Salon that I'm supposed to be writing these days. It's in 2 weeks tomorrow.
It should be fantastic. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, the salon's going to be a pretty powerful night, and feeling really, really super stoked about it. The flyers are so sexy, and the tickets are, like, super sexy. So Michael Bean's the one who's responsible for producing those. And I've got to find the most killer outfit possible. Cass King and John Woods of the Wet Spots, they were in wearing a most amazing outfit on Saturday night.
What were they wearing?
Dark purple velvet dress, very tight. I mean, John wasn't wearing the dress.
Damn.
And the slit went right up almost to her, onto her hip and crotch area, up one leg. And she just looked so gorgeous. And it was glittery. So there's all these mirrors on it and glitter bits.
Wow.
And so they just looked like totally right out of Las Vegas.
Nice.
John had the same matching exact fabric but was wearing a cape.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a cape. But he had his usual, I mean, if you've ever seen the Wet Spots, John usually wears like those old-fashioned sock mm-hmm. holders that men wear, the old-fashioned ones that hold your sock up. And then he basically just wears these little hot pants and mm-hmm. like doesn't wear a lot else besides. sometimes he wears a jacket, smoking jacket and things like that. But Cass is usually wearing very, very
glamour clothes.
Sexy glamour clothes. And the two of them just looked fabulous. So John had his usual funny little, you know, half undressed man of the 50s outfit underneath this cape.
So, that sounds very swank.
And they just were just such great stage presence, really great. And they did play a few other songs. So
I have to ask you, Julia, so we're going full back, and you know how I do this. I'm a circular thinker, so things come up later. How would you describe a booty call? I just want to make sure I am.
Yeah, it's basically only for sex. It's kind of like you call the person that you know is going to be pleasing you sexually. They've been your lover for a while. Often booty call is really...
Oh, okay, I've had lots of those then.
Yeah, because it's like, and you can do it or they can do it. There's all kinds of rules around booty calls, what makes them not a good booty call, so, you know...
ex-boyfriends are probably not a good idea.
No, because that's ex-sex, and that's totally different, and there's a lot of emotions involved, which I guess is what I've been doing lately.
Yeah,
so.
Usually I find with booty call, it works best if you've got more than one partner at a time.
Yes, more than one.
Sure you have safe sex, communicate really direct, where it's like it's really good to, well, maybe it's not the best thing to do, but if you're going to do it, be really honest with them, where it's like, I'm not ready for a relationship right now. Mm-hmm. If I choose to get involved, let's set some parameters. This is what I can give you right now.
Right.
And be really direct about it.
Yeah.
And if you're sleeping with more than one person, let them know so that there's no hurt feelings or anything like that.
Yeah.
And truthfully, if you are going to with more than one person, it's not a bad thing, necessarily. It can be really enjoyable, actually.
Yes, multiple partners can be very fun.
Mr. Right Now. Yes.
Mr. Right Now. So while we're waiting for the West Bus to come, I think I'd like to play another song. But before we do that, maybe we could mention a little bit about how to find out about the salon. So juiceboxsalon.com is the website. You can get tickets online through there. Or you can get in touch with me or Michael Bean if you want a friends and family ticket. If you need a cheaper ticket. Otherwise, please do pay the full price because it really does support the performers. The performers are so amazing. We have not just Little Wu doing multiple performances. She's going to be doing
fantastic.
A variety of performances on the night, so that'll be really amazing. We have acrobatics and all kinds of amazing... I just can't even believe the performers lineup. It's just going to be so incredible. I have to get the flyer.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me. We're totally unprepared for the show because we're expecting our guests.
It's cool. But there's a lot of great things going on in the city, and I'm just really exciting that you're doing this whole salon thing. I think it's awesome. Like, Little Wu herself is just amazing. She's one of the best burlesque performers in town.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see you coming up on stage and
doing my thing.
Yeah.
So, I know I have a writing meeting with Michael Bean, the producer and performer. He's going to be doing some devil stories, and he's an incredible performer himself. And we're having acrobatics by Islando and
I'm not sure who it is, so I'm not going to pronounce it.
And there's a sexy circus duo by Ryan and Dawn. People that are in the community will really know who those people are. They're so amazing. Poetry, performance art. It's just going to be so cool. And I see some familiar faces arriving.
Should we put Take It in the Ass?
Take It in the Ass. You know what? I want to play one of their more new songs while we get them sorted out here. And I think I'm going to put on the Toes one because I think it's hilarious. I absolutely love it. And I very much am in alignment with Cass on that as she sings her little heart out. So here we go on Hello Kinky, their newest album by the Wet Spots. And this particular one is called Toes. And we'll be right back with the Wet Spots.
I've had 857 lovers, and you're certainly the greatest of them all. You make me moan and whimper like no other. You take me on the floor and off the wall. You're like an acrobat from Bundang Circus. There's just one thing I need to make it perfect. Come wrap your arms around me, listen close. Don't lick my toes. It's disgusting and disturbing. It's upsetting and unnerving. All the things you could be perving on. Why must you choosing toes? I'm not a prude. hand umbrella, but you better listen, fella. I should tell you right from hell, oh, there's no way I'll let you turn the yellow postulating sores and mentor in between my toes. Don't lick my toes. It's repulsive and I hate it. It's completely overrated. I don't know if I can state it any clearer. Come no nearer. Do you hear? Or maybe I'm some kind of idiot or something. You're expectant and erect, and all I think is disinfectant. Mouthwash won't disguise the scent of all the fungus and the sweat of all the filthy streets I've walked upon. The stench inside my socks upon the grave of my grandmother. Won't you please just find another way to show me your urbanity and stop with this insanity? The door is shut, the way is closed. What don't you get?
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey.
Are you going good? I can't hear you now, so I'm off the thing. All right, so welcome. How was the ride in? A bit stressful?
Oh, it started hailing out there. It's actually quite pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How are you doing, Cass?
I'm fine.
Welcome.
People were jumping around in the snow up here at UBC. It was fun. All these West Coasters walking around like, hey, dude.
Yes, snow. You're living in Toronto now. You guys are in a whole different world. Now, I saw on the website that you're doing huge tours up and down the Western Seaboard here for a while, till the end of March. That's pretty cool. The lineup you have is enormous. I was impressed with all the events coming up.
Yeah, we have played such a wide variety of events on our way up and down in the past couple of tours. It's funny, we moved to Toronto and now we do most of our work on the West Coast, which is ironic. But yeah, we've played everything from from a bondage club to a soft cedar theater to Unitarian church.
Oh yeah, and we did on New Year's Eve we did an orgy in Washington D.C.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow. Was it a high-end orgy that could afford to have entertainment before the orgy party started?
Yeah, man. It was kind of fun. It was like, actually, it was just two doors down from Colin Powell's house. He wasn't there, but but yeah, it was cool. There was some, like, ambassador types, kicking around. It was kind of groovy, And we went back to our dressing room, and there was somebody getting peed on in our dressing room. When we
lovely.
<went there.
laughs> Excellent. Hey, sex parties. That's what it's all about.
Well, I know, but when you go to your dressing room, that's kind of your place to hide, for
you're
a few minutes.
Please don't pee in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Pee on other people in the dressing room.
I'm going to put it in our rider.
Yeah. No peeing in the dressing room.
All right, so you guys have a bit of a long history that I'd like to sort of talk about. I know that when Caroline and I were prepping the show, she remembered a very cool event that Cass used to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that, Caroline?
Oh, I used to do the Blue Lizard Lounge, and I loved it at the Waldorf. And it was this party where there was different music and different rooms. Everybody got dolled up. I remember I'd go to my hairdresser, and I'd tell him how I wanted my hair done that day, whether it was like Audrey Hepburn and Breakfast at Tiffany's, or if he'd try and scrunch it up. So it'd be like Princess Anne from Roman Holiday, get totally dolled up in some dress that I picked up at like either True Value Vintage or somewhere, and just feel really cool, classy. My ex-boyfriend would be smoking cigars, drinking martinis, and drinking them really dry, which for me is really scary considering I'm a girly girl. So,
well, the Yeah, before Sex and the City and before Burlesque, there was Blue Lizard. And before Blue Lizard, there was an event called Wig Out at the Waldorf also. And it was just very, it was kind of a little more funk oriented. And people just used to wear the craziest wig they could find. And then Blue Lizard started. I was not one of the creators of it, but I definitely was eventually one, you know, sort of a co-producer, publicist face. They used to put me on all the posters. And we had a really good time. Vancouver has always been game, you know, to dress up in a stupid wig and party, you know. And I really love that about this city. It really sort of retains the right to get dressed up and be goofy. And
I love that about Vancouver too. Totally. Yeah,
it's really unique. And as far as we've traveled, there we found one or two other spaces in the world that have the same kind of eclectic, fun vibe that Vancouver does. It's really nice to be back here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What other places in the world do you find that?
Well, there was Mission Control.
Yeah, down in San Francisco, they got a crazy party dress-up scene where people are devoted. I mean, like, it's not just the parties, but, I mean, like, Vancouver has so many, like, you'll go to a lot of cities and they'll have, like, booze cans or whatever, and it's very functional. You know, there's a couple of beaten-up couches in a room and some angry guy selling, like, warm cans of beer, right? Whereas in Vancouver, you know, there are all these kind of party spaces that were just,
they're like chocolate magic mushrooms.
Or that sounds like Wreck Beach.
Yeah. But I mean, they'll have really done their homework. It'll be all done up in red velvet and cast iron railings and the old hardwood floor, and you know, and they'll have, like, you know, and they'll really, like, the decor will just, like, read gypsy boudoir. I think you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That, like, that old Babylon space, which is no more. Like,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
they have a new space now.
Oh yes,
yeah, they
yes,
just opened. You guys know about it? Mm-hmm. Have you
oh,
checked
yeah.
it out?
Oh yeah, yeah,
I'm sure
totally.
You've been invited to some big swanky thing they had around the Burlesque Fest. From honored guests.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, like, there's a couple of places in San Fran that had that same kind of vibe, you know, where people have really put a lot of effort into making, you know, this crazy, fun, funky, sort of psychedelic, you know, party space, you know? And, yeah. Apparently I'm talking too close to the mic.
Yeah, he's eating the mic. I'm like, don't.
So, yeah, so some other places. But Vancouver's really got it going on that way, you
That's
know?
That's awesome. Well, okay, you guys, I'm really curious to know. I was going to ask you questions about how your past projects that you used to do inspire your current work, and I'd like to hear from both of you on that question. So you got married, you know, in 2003. I don't know.
How did you guys meet?
Yeah, how did you meet? That's a good question. Let's start there.
We were performing at Café Montmartre for a night called Thundering Word Heard, and we were double booked.
I've been to that, yeah.
Yeah, we were double booked to perform, to headline on the same night, and so as it turned out, we performed together, and I did a set, and John accompanied me. He was playing the sitar, and I was reading my lesbian love poetry, and that's how we met, and later he played his songs, and I really thought they were sexy and interesting, and I said that we should collaborate on something, and did he write all of his own lyrics? And he said, well, yes, he did, but he'd be interested in maybe collaborating on something with me. And then I went over to his house and
collaborated on a few
things. We collaborated for about a year, and then we wrote a song.
What was the first song you wrote?
The first
Three-Way Rendezvous.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And what inspired you to write it? The collaboration?
I think it was more the sound of the tune. I don't know if you know the tune, but it's very, like, a laid-back kind of...
Ink spots kind of
old jazz feel, and it was just kind of the sweetness of the rhyme. We were joking about... I think we were probably joking about the rhyme, and then the sweetness of the song, and it just kind of came out, you know? And then we wrote Do You Take It? Do you take it in the ass?
I feel like that Do You Take It in the Ass is very much about sort of dating and getting to know each other.
Yeah,
I kind of would assume that would have been one of your first, because it was sort of when you first started getting to know each other.
Yeah. And then we just sort of, we actually, Watermelon, the famous
Watermelon
invited me to do her cabaret, and I said, oh, you got to check out this new act that I'm doing with this guy. And she said, okay, Cass, come on in. Come on in, do my show. You know? and so we did, and that was how it all started. And we did a few sets. just with our two songs, and we used to cover a great song by Dr. Hook called Freaker's Ball. Mm-hmm. And so we used to cover that too. And then we just started, we realized that people might actually like this shtick.
And they do.
And so we started to write more tunes. Mm-hmm. That's about it in a nutshell.
Wow. So the inspiration that you've had from like recently, anyway, last CD, the newest one, Hello Kinky, what are some of the inspirations that you've had to writing this music?
Wow, this one, it's just a real, it's a variety album, you know? It's like a variety show in an album format. Yeah. It's like the, there's some sort of outlaw country on it. There's some sort of body, dusty roadhouse blues.
There's tango.
One of them, the song that you just played, Don't Lick My Toes, is actually inspired by Bourjou. Of Bourjou's Angels.
The ones who
here
supplied you with your fabulous outfits for Saturday
at
the
Blue
Fest.
That's
oh
right.
My gosh, you guys look just blew my mind. Amazing.
Well, Bourjou's got a band called Something About Reptiles, and they're wicked. They're like a total crazy Turkish music band.
Gypsy music. We used to call it Jerkish Tipsy music.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I played with that band for a little while, and I just, you know, I really dug, you know, that kind of. She always calls it like the Turkish melodrama. Of the style of music. So, like, yeah, it just seemed to be, I mean, it just, you know, it, that kind of music just lends itself to having a big diva, you know, like singing about like all of her pain and her suffering, and you don't know what it's like. It was a really fun form just to write so that Cass could really just inhabit that, you know, and just, you know, take that on.
Can I segue in this question? Just because I think your outfits were so amazing, and then you mentioned that you'd gone to Bridges that afternoon and she dressed you up. So you had no plan for, like, it was a pretty big headline that you were doing, I think, that being the hosts of the big night, International Burlesque Festival. It's a pretty big deal, I think. And so I was thinking, you didn't have an outfit plan? That's what I was thinking.
We have fabulous costumes, fabulous. But these ones, you know, nothing could really. For those of you who were not there, we were wearing about 40 pounds of purple velvet and cut mirror.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even, it was like mirror applique. We were human disco balls. It was very strange and unusual, and it was just wonderful that we were able to walk into Bourjou's and she just
said,
Johnny, come here, I got something for you.
And she always does that whenever I walk in the city. She's like, John, I've been waiting for you, I got just the thing. And she shows me this like super heavy purple velvet cape, something like Sonny Bono would wear,
on his
Sonny Bono, Sonny and Cher variety show, right?
Yeah.
And it's got the mirrors and it's got like hot pink silk lining, and she puts it on me and she's like, this is totally you should wear this. I'm like, yeah, this would be really fun, you know. This, she said, you should wear it when you host the burlesque show. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's cool, it's all right and everything, but there's no way it's going to fit with anything that Cass has. She's like, it's okay, I've got a matching dress for Cass. And when somebody says they got a matching purple velvet dress with cut shaped mirrors all over it and hot pink silk lining to match the robe,
the magic gypsy says this to you,
you know, and the magic
gypsy tells you to wear it, you just wear it.
Yeah,
excellent. Awesome. It looks so amazing. It has cranked the show up so much higher than it probably would have ever been. Your presence was a big part of it. But those outfits were, I would say, you didn't hear this on the way in, but when you're on coming on your way in, but I just have known you guys. I've seen you perform for probably about 5 years now. I've been a fan. So just seeing the improvement in your stage performance was quite striking for me, seeing you do your songs at the Burlesque Fest. It's been a couple years since I've seen you perform. So I was just like, wow, that's what practicing can do for a person. Holy cow. You guys, I mean, you were so good before, really captivating before, like at the Café du Soleil, where I saw you the first time I ever saw you.
Oh, Café du, was that the time that the whole band got naked?
I think so, yeah.
Was that the whole band? And people were walking by on Commercial Drive going, what the F?
Yeah. Yeah, you can swear on the show.
You can swear.
Okay.
That's what they were saying. What the F?
Yeah, right. So, okay, I want to get to some of the juicy stuff. So,
sure.
So how long were you guys collaborating before you guys realized that you could collaborate in personal life besides just like with your work?
Oh, we actually slept together the night before our first date, and we didn't write a tune for about a year and a bit.
Yeah, let's collaborate.
So it was together. The collaboration, so we did read that correctly.
Yeah, like collaboration in the arts world is like, hey, babe, want to come to my place for a drink?
Well, you see, I didn't realize that. I'd had collaborations with people that did not involve half of the positions that we got up to.
That's true.
It was our original collaborations.
Well, you're obviously deeply in love.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know what else could survive when you work together, write together, perform together. I mean, what keeps it fresh, really?
Wow. That's a good question.
That's
what keeps it fresh?
Isn't it?
Someone say it was fresh. Sometimes it's just not fresh, you know?
So
that's what being married is all about, you know? Sometimes it's just not fresh, but you hit it anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
You go for it. So I'm assuming that you do practice some of the things you talked about in your songs, like take it in the ass, you've got some BDSM in there, you've got kinky neighbor, you've got swinging.
Yeah, you know what's kind of interesting about that is that, like, yeah, like we certainly take part in all that stuff, but, you know, it's, you know, a lot of the time it's not as often or as intense as a lot of people think. But what's really funny is sometimes, like, we'll be hanging out with people, like, in a new city, or if we're going into a place we've never played before, but people have seen the video or heard the songs, they'll sit down with us, like, before we're gonna go on stage, like, backstage, maybe, like, the promoter, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, so I tell you, I had my three slaves tied up last night, and I was totally just going at them, oh, and they were begging for mercy, and I was totally saying no, and then I gave them all enemas, and wah, and we're just like, oh, yeah, you know, because he thinks this is probably what we did on the trip.
This is normal for you.
You know, this is what we did just before we showed up at the venue. You know, we dropped off our suitcases and gave someone an enema immediately, you know, so of course we're gonna, and a lot of the time we're just kind of like way more softcore than a lot of the people who are, you know, it's not to say that we don't go there, we certainly do, but we're, you know, yeah, a lot of the time, you know, we feel actually almost like we're kind of, I don't
vanilla?
Know. Yeah, we're vanilla compared to a lot of the people who want us to do the shows for them and stuff. Yeah.
So do a lot of them just think that you sing and talk about fucking more than actually doing it, would you say, or...
I don't know.
It's just sort of more like people are like they've been given permission to share because of the nature of what we do. And so, of course, they're just like, finally, great. Okay, so we don't have much to talk about, but I'm going to tell you about how I'm really into, you know, piss sports and blood play, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so what did you do this weekend? Well, we walked the dog. And
Yeah, we had dinner. We had friends over for dinner and just had dinner.
Yeah,
and a few drinks.
We do that sometimes, you know. We just have friends over for dinner.
I know how you feel, being a sex educator and also a radio show host that talks about sexuality. People make a lot of assumptions when they meet me. I often do not tell them what I do for a while because exactly I don't want to start hearing about their sexual issues that they have or their needs or their, you know, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I mean, we're always happy to, you know.
I know
hear
what you mean.
What people do. I'm just, you know, morbidly curious, to tell you the truth.
What's the weirdest thing you've heard people tell you about?
Oh God.
There was one recently, wasn't there?
There was. I forget what it was.
I'm curious, and I'm all ears.
Was it Bridge?
Was it? Somebody was talking about pooping on the dog.
What?
What? I think we must have been joking around about that.
Maybe not. You never know. There's probably something online about it.
Okay. Well, that kind of
on the dog. What was it?
That kind of. I don't know. Can you think of one as well, John? Because I was thinking. One of my questions was, are there things you wouldn't do? And there's
that kind of falls under there.
There certainly are.
I think never poop on your dog.
I don't know. I mean, just earlier this week, we were in Minneapolis, and the co-star of our show, who's really quite something, she's sort of like, she does female drag and male drag. She can do a king thing. And anyway, she's from Germany, and like... She, like, just before we were about to go on stage, we did a two nights with her in a row, and she was just lying there going, oh, yes, you guys. We just walked in. She said, I had such a wonderful day. I was masturbating all day thinking about you guys. It was like, oh, okay.
Like, ha, 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 ha. Dankjewel. Like, what do you say? I don't know.
You say thank you. Please don't come after me with the vacuum cleaner.
She was cute, though.
I was going to say, she sounds like a gender bender.
Oh, yeah. I love gender bender.
Me too. I'm a big gender bender fan myself. I like trans men. They really turn me on. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, do you find that people hit on you more that you guys are married now, or when you guys were just a couple but not married, do you find people hit on you more just in general when you're on circuit?
I don't find that our marital status really changes. I have found a big difference between being the single bi girl that was into almost anything, you know, and being married. And when you're married, all of a sudden you have to marry your likes and dislikes sexually, right? When you were married, and if we're looking for another partner or partners or whatnot to play with, then they have to pass muster with both of us, which is another giant. You know, we've got two big sets of hoops. You know, well, I mean, I'm very picky anyway.
I'm a big hoe. But
yeah, well, that's kind of tends to be. I'm sorry, but I've heard this story so many times. The man is always, I mean, I'm sorry, but they'll put up with just about anything in bed, I find. And it's like, women, we're a little bit more picky.
That's not entirely true.
Depends on the guy.
I mean,
depends on the guy.
That's the other thing is, I mean, like, we may be a bit more vanilla than a lot of people think. I mean, sometimes we can, well, like, we can maybe sometimes make out with other people, just one or the other, but we don't really go home with other people on our own. It's like, we're basically a package deal that way. I know a lot of, and don't get me wrong, like, a lot of relationships are totally, like, they're that open where either partner can go off and be with other people, and that's totally cool, but it's not where we are at the moment, and a lot of people kind of think that their choices are either being totally monogamous or they have to be totally freewheeling, and that you know, there's all sorts of room to negotiate all sorts of things, whatever you're comfortable with in between, you know, whatever works for you personally. And it's a constant you know, renegotiation and communication issue that goes
this
on.
Message has been brought to you by Polyamorous Families of America.
There's our PSA, Julia.
Excellent. I love the PSA, so we can just keep going, which is really fabulous. Okay, do you want to ask them about that? Okay, I think we should. I hate to waste even a moment of airtime, but
sure. Let's talk about the traveling then. You guys have been traveling for a while, for the last couple of years. And one of the things I wanted to ask about is how you've been all around the world, haven't you, really?
We've been to London and to South Africa in this last year, and then we've done quite a bit of traveling in the States. We did theater shows in Chicago, and we've been back and forth to New York several times, and then up and down, as I say, up and down the West Coast, which has been just grand. It's been really great.
How have you found humor different in different areas? Like,
different countries, different parts, like Eastern Seaboard, Western. Sorry, Caroline.
Don't ask a woman about her orgasms in South Africa.
Yep.
That's what I've learned.
They've been working on the whole, like, racial equality thing. They kind of skipped the sexual revolution and feminism. That's kind of... they're just kind of... Yeah, they're... I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, like...
They're awesome people.
They're working
really
hard.
Awesome.
They got a lot of ground to make up, but it's a little bit different there.
So what about the UK? Yeah, like how would you describe the differences?
Oh, the UK, they're just bawdy, you know? Like, they're just, anything you say, they just love it. They're like, I think that the difference with the UK is that they're actually quite cerebral. Like, they're very, very dry, and they're used to, the joke in the UK is that the comedian's not telling the joke. It's almost like they don't have punchlines there. They have sort of statements that lead you to think a punchline in your mind, and then you laugh. It's a whole different way of telling a joke.
Wow,
you know?
So less obvious, very dry, like you're saying. Yeah.
So did you have to change your act in terms of that, or how did they react to your work?
We had to change it in South Africa.
What did you have to do in South Africa? What happened there?
We had to remove all group sex, bisexual references, some geographical references they simply weren't going to get. Some things we realized that some of our stuff is actually, it's really quite North American in some ways, you know, like, and that they have different slang there, for example, or even for in England, for that matter. Like, we have a song called Texas Annie, right, about a lesbian dildo smuggler. And it's like, well, Texas Annie had a big fat fanny. Now, first of all, fanny means something quite different in South Africa and in England than it does here.
What does it mean?
I was just going to ask that.
Oh, it means pussy.
Vagina.
Yeah, so
she's got a big fat vulva.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's fine, but it's different. And it's, in any case, I mean,
it will swallow you whole.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to picture her walking around. It's like a catcher's mitt, you know? like a big Muppet. It opens up and there's teeth.
Yeah. Vagina dentata. We're all really afraid of that.
I'm
deep inside.
It's like a twisted cartoon.
But I don't know. You know what's kind of interesting is I think the U.S., it's really weird because people keep saying, oh, the U.S. getting so conservative, la, 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 la. And that's true in the White House and it's true in the Midwest. But the freaks on the coast and the freaks in New York are still as freaky as they've ever been. And as a matter of fact, because there's so many more people in the U.S. and there's so many, that means there's so many more freaks. So there's enough freaks for them to be a real audience. So there's people in the U.S. media and people in the U.S. industry who are just like, you're totally freaky, and I could market you. Whereas in Canada, it's like, you're totally freaky, and like three people in Canada would like you, get out of my office. So, you know,
it's not exactly like that, but it's close.
It's a very different vibe down there, but it's really kind of wide open, and the freaks down there, because they got really something to kick against. I mean, we got Harper now, and he's kind of a creep, but, you know, the freaks down there really have something to kick against, and they kick hard, and when they kick hard, they like really kind of kick up their heels, you know?
Wow.
Oh, wow. I'm like, I'm still kind of absorbing everything you're saying.
So am I.
Wow. Okay, I have a question I really want to know, and that, what turns you on the most?
Wow.
Cass is like, I'd like to know, because it's probably changed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what time is it now. Let me see.
It's 10 to 11.
Let me see.
I throw the hard personal questions in at the end.
Okay, well, I really like to watch other people playing. I really enjoy playing with multiple partners. Boy, oh boy. I really like giving and receiving oral sex.
I like oral sex a lot, too. It's a good thing. Cass, what about you? What turns you on the most?
Oh, it's really hard to say. For me, it's so much of it is about connection and energy. Mm-hmm. And you don't even necessarily have to be doing anything that's all that extreme or sexual. Some of the most intense sexual experiences I've ever had have been non-penetrative, you know, non sort of intercourse situations. And it's just been all about sort of intense touch. I don't mean to intellectualize that or take that away from the sexiness of it all, because it's hard to describe, but I know people that can really, you know, sort of pick you up and sort of hold you and turn you upside down and, you know, really make you feel sort of like mush. You trust them so much and you could do anything, you know? And that's one amazing kind of experience, you know? And then there's a, like, you know, I'm going to dress you up like a baby doll and tan your ass, you know? Like, it's like, you know, I'm a Gemini.
After my heart.
What can I say? You know, I have no particular love. I really like being held and touched, you know, really like a sensuous touch. Mm-hmm. And someone who can really kiss. Kissing is really great.
Very, very
it's
important.
It's hard to find somebody who can pass the kiss test.
Caroline's not been so happy. She's got a few toads in her past.
Oh, no.
but, okay, so what turns you off?
Sorry. It's okay.
What turns you off the most, then?
I really don't like it when people lick my toes.
Yeah.
I really don't. I just, you know, and I got nothing against foot fetishists, and that song that we wrote is not even really about foot fetishists. It's just like, you know, sometimes you'd like, oh, well, let's do something interesting, and I want to just really go there, and I'm going to go the distance for you, and I'm just going to, I think John did that, actually, when we were first together. He was like, baby, I'm just going to love every interview, and then he licked my toes, and I was like, okay, stop. Stop. The end. We have to talk. So I don't like having my toes licked. That's okay. Gross.
Would you say communication is one of the things that just keeps you bonded together? Because you write about sex, you guys perform and talk about so many different things and create together. Is that one of the things?
Yeah, you know, communication is true, but we face our struggles with communication as well. I mean, like, we're no different from anybody else. We have our lulls, we have our ups and downs in our personal, you know, physical sex life and things like that, you know. I mean, The thing about it is, like, I think the funny thing about when they say relationships in general, but particularly when it comes to sex, I think the paradox that you get into is the thing that you're most afraid to say, the thing that you're most afraid to bring up, the thing that you're most afraid to talk about is the thing that you have to talk about the most, you know? And, you know, maybe it's an issue that's, you know, been just left and it's festered because it's been left, and to bring it up is really going to bring up a lot of emotion around this particular issue, you know, whatever it is, where there's like, you know, like, honey, I totally need to play with a man. Or whether it's like, honey, you gotta stop tickling me with that peacock feather. I know you dig it, but it's been like a year and I'm still not digging it. And I've, you know, if you sit on that for a year, you're gonna be tearing that peacock feather into like,
the feather!
Yeah, and you're gonna be like,
leave it alone! The cat ate it!
Stuff it in your ass.
Yes. I don't care what you do with it.
Yeah. Retire it to the garbage. Okay, so, John, what turns you off? I wanted to know.
Oh, wow. What turns me off?
Nothing.
No, that's not true.
I like this not true stuff, you guys. It's so
that's
cute.
That's not true.
Okay, Well, what is it?
I don't know. Like, two things. Like, I'm not into, like, scat play that much, you know?
That much.
No, man. I mean, like, I mean, I try to be open and everything, but there's limits, and, like, that's, you know, that's not really my thing, you know?
I don't like playing with poo either.
No, man, it's just,
maybe
you know,
if it's frozen or...
Maybe if it's frozen.
Yeah,
floating down the river, you can look at it and see what you had for lunch.
Of that.
And if somebody is... you know what's another turnoff is that if I sense somebody is too out of it on in whatever kind of, you know, thing they may be on when they're partying to make good choices and they're coming on to me or something like that, that just kind of makes me like, you know, I kind of freak out, you know.
So you're an ethical slut then.
I am, you know. I am. I'm trying to be.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I know. I'm one myself. Mm. And a lot of communication and sobriety is involved usually in that.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
Sometimes you're not as sober as you probably should be. I think I've done those ones a few times.
I have totally. I've done my time. You know, definitely. You know, that's the thing. I think maybe that's what it is. I'm seeing a bit of myself in somebody. Like I'm hoping I've never been the creepy gropey guy at a party, but I probably have been once or twice. You know?
I know I have.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we all have. Mm-hmm.
I remember Cass. Speaking of that.
Oh no! Don't tell that story.
Ah, okay. The time when she came on to me. And it was a little bit wasted. I was personally so flattered I could hardly handle it, so I just didn't handle it very well because I was very immature and didn't know what to do.
where was it? Was this at Babylon?
I think it was that Cafe du Soleil. Cass, do you remember?
Really?
So many years ago. It was like 6 years ago or something.
I don't remember.
We were children. We were just wee kids.
I was just a tiny baby, barely half past 29.
She wasn't even 30 yet. You can't take anyone seriously who's under 30. All right, so what do we got? We got about 5 more minutes.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask is you guys are about to start on your tour, and if people want to check you out in Vancouver, when can they see you?
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to be at the Railway Club on Wednesday, March 21st.
Nice.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. Like, we did the Burlesque Fest, and that was just me and Cass and our guitar and our big mouths, and but this time we got a full band, like the same band that played on our CD.
Nice.
Our West Coast players, Stephen Drake, ex of the Odds, and Rick Hopkins, who's a fantastic keyboard player, has worked with like everybody, and Adrian Buckley, who worked with my old band, the Orchid Highway, and the Tomorrow. So really just like stellar backing band lineup.
Excellent.
And Steve, did I say Stephen Drake from the Odds? Yeah, he's on bass, so it's a really kick-ass band. band.
So if you want to see that show, you can't listen to Juicebox that night, but you can always get it on podcast after. I don't know what we'll do. We want to see the show ourselves.
I know. It kind of sucks.
I know. Well, maybe we'll have to find someone to replace
us. Well, if your show ends at 11, you'll be able to see a lot of it.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, maybe
Who's opening for you?
Nobody. We're opening for ourselves.
You should open for yourselves. You're good enough for that. All you need to do is
just
have your name
in the
light.
You just need to be able to stretch wide enough, and then you can open for yourself. That's a wonderful thing.
Have you ever fisted yourself, John?
I've tried.
Have you?
I've tried.
I would say that'd be really hard to do.
It requires some flexibility.
Flexibility
yoga.
Is interesting. I've actually had one ex-boyfriend who actually gave himself head.
That just blows my mind.
I know. I wouldn't leave the house.
I know. I don't think many of us would. Like, yeah, if you could lick your own genitals. I know every time I see dogs, I start getting all mesmerized. I'm like, you guys are so damn lucky,
and
don't
goats,
you know?
Goats can do it as well. That's getting weird.
You people are sick.
Do you have time for any more tunes, or are we just going
to
talk it out?
Yeah, if you want to play one.
Yeah, let's... Have you played Do You Take
let's
It?
Let's change the subject.
I mean, or no, I mean, like, that's the signature.
I want to play Do You Take It in the Ass, because one of my students was mentioning it on air beforehand. I teach pole dancing for fitness, and she was just playing it for me in the car on Saturday, okay. Saying that she wanted me to help her choreograph a pole dance routine to it.
So. Okay, well, that's groovy. Then in that case...
Do you want to play that one? Is that the one you want to play?
I don't know. We could do that, or let me have a quick look at the back here. Texas Annie's pretty fun, too.
George. I love George.
Can we play George's, our new bossa nova song? It's not quite... I mean, it's sort of maybe a new direction for the Wet Spots. Like, we're trying to... We're not playing as many comedy clubs. We're kind of just trying to do more of a kind of cool sexual lounge entertainment and not trying to be super funny every second of every song. Uh-huh. So, and George is just kind of, it's got that sort of bossa nova, Girl from Ipanema, just a moment in time kind of lyric. It's not trying to be super like screamingly funny, but I think it's a really pretty song.
Okay,
so.
Great.
Is that kind of more towards the wave of the future that you guys are going?
It's the wave of today.
We wanted to ask you what you're going to be doing next, so... I appreciate that.
A lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And then some more modern songs, and we're going to go to some darker places, I think, as well. Try to move the act away from Vegas and a little more closer to Berlin, maybe. We'll see what happens with that.
Well, we'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find out more about the Wet Spots on their website, wetspotmusic.com, and I recommend you get their CD. Fabulous. I played it several times over. And
it's wetspotsmusic.com.
Didn't that say that?
Yeah, Wet Spots with the S.
Okay.
Don't go to wetspots.com.
Okay.
What is it? Just out of curiosity.
It's a bar in Texas.
Oh.
What a sad, sad thing. Anyway.
Oh. Well, I really want to thank you both for being here and coming all the way out in the hail and snow.
Oh,
pleasure.
Yeah.
And we're glad to have you back in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on the 21st. I'll try to make it. And...
Yeah, there on the 21st.
Yeah, so. One of us will for sure.
Yeah,
on March 21st, Railway Club.
Right
on.
That'd be great.
Enjoy your Western Seaboard tour. I know you will.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And we will play your song, and we will say, actually, Marion is in the house with Hans Claus's Misery Hour. For the next couple of hours, he's going to lull you into your masturbatory sleep.
With his, what is he saying?
What are you saying, Marion?
He's saying,
bore you to hell.
Bore you
to hell. Bore you to hell.
We love that about Marion. So that's Hans' Claus Misery Hour. Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. Caroline and I'll be back next week doing a fresh and lively Juicebox all about the second annual International Burlesque Festival.
And we may have Teddy Cream on talking about boy-ask.
Yes.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
Yes. And we will be back next week at the
sexy hour
of 10
p.m.
o'clock. 10 a.m.
p.m.
George likes toast and coffee in the morning.